A reading from the Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom did belong to this world, my attendants would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. On this, the Feast of Christ the King, I think it is a feast of a bit of Catholic redundancy, because we already have a feast celebrating Jesus sitting at God's right hand and on the throne of glory. It is called the Feast of the Ascension. The Feast of Christ the King was established by Pope Pius XI in 1925 within a very specific historical context. After the collapse of the Papal States in 1870, there was a big question about how the papacy would establish itself as a sovereignty existing within the political state of Italy. And so this was a question that was ongoing. And through it all, I'm sure the Pope was wondering how we could establish ourselves as the Catholic Church and Christ as the head. In 1929, Pius XI concluded the Lateran Treaty with Mussolini and thus established the Vatican City-State, an independent, separate political entity, the smallest state in the world. And the Pope no doubt felt compelled, with some theological and political defensiveness, to say to the whole world at the time, "Jesus is our King." Thus, we have established the Feast of Christ the King ever since. It's awkward for those of us enjoying democratic governments to appreciate what it means to be a king. I think of a game we played as kids in the snow. I come from Minnesota, and during the winter, especially towards the end of winter, there would be huge mounds of snow that had been plowed from the driveways and streets and so forth. And we would play a game called King on the Hill. And it meant that we would scramble up the side of the snow hill, clawing and scratching and pushing everybody aside, trying to get to the top first. And whoever got to the top first had to keep shoving everybody else down to stay there, to maintain that position, to maintain that position of power. And then you would yell out clearly, "I'm king on the hill." And so at that young age, we were already learning about getting to the top and about power. This feast becomes more meaningful if we reflect on the meaning of leadership. Today we are undergoing a crisis of leadership. Leaders of nations, leaders of churches, leaders of corporations, even leaders of families often misuse power and authority, oppress people in arrogance and greed, hurt people to get to the top. We see governments acting as accomplices in violence, death, and destruction. Corporate executives are regularly acting in dishonest ways, often taking for themselves what belongs to the workers. And so on this feast day, it's good to remember the kind of leadership Jesus showed. Through his ministry, Jesus' leadership was rejected because he refused to be political. He challenged the religious and secular leaders of his day because he would not wield power and control as they would.
The Jews were disappointed in him because he was not the kind of king or leader they wanted, some big political strong person that would keep them out of oppression. He stood with the poor, the sick, the marginalized, the refugees. His leadership was marked with compassion, not vengeance, forgiveness, not payback, love, not hate, mercy, not indifference, inclusion, not exclusion. And so in today's gospel, we see Jesus before Pilate. Jesus is being mocked. He's being dismissed for his convictions. They are making a joke of his leadership by calling him king. They put a purple robe on him and crown him with thorns. And Jesus had to say, "If I'm a king, it is your choice of words. And my kingdom is not of this world," meaning it has no resemblance to the kingdom of earthly power and might. So where do you and I come in this? Well, it's Jesus' desire that his kingdom of peace and justice, mercy and love and inclusion be experienced now. The kingdom of heaven in eternity begins now. So it's up to you and me. You and I are the builders of the kingdom now. Our palace is our home, our classroom, our places of work, out on the streets where we walk. Is there more mercy, forgiveness, peace, and love? Less greed, division, and exclusion? Because you and I are there? If not, Jesus' kingdom continues to be mocked. Today, as we continue with the Eucharist, we can ask for courage to be the agents of Jesus' kingdom right now, carrying on his leadership in this world so torn and wounded. We especially commit ourselves to taking on Jesus' leadership when we walk up to communion and we hold out our hands. We place a throne for Jesus to be there, recognizing that we are allowing the body of Christ to be enthroned in our hands. And we hear the words, "Body of Christ, blood of Christ," and we answer, "Amen, amen."